Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And a good Thursday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It is opening day in Smashville live today. Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena as the Predators look to play game number two of the season, but game number one at home at Bridgestone Arena, and I guess officially begin their 25th anniversary celebration in front of Smashville's finest. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you here today. Jojo, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to see you again, buddy.
Well, it's good to be seen.
I am all tangled in these cords here. I'm not sure what's happening, but
You're not tangled in me.
If we go easy. If we go off the air, that's because I have ripped a cord out of the wall because it's wrapped around my foot right now and I'm afraid to move.
That happened one time with a former co-host of yours. He tripped over a cord, took everything out.
Well, we had a guest one time on this show at the National Convention Center across the way, and the guest had everything wrapped around his foot, and he stood up to walk away and yanked everything off the table. And everything. Two laptops were smashed. The board was smashed. Yep. And I just laughed. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's all you could do at that point.
That's it. That's all
Rex
you could
do. Broke a chair once, so that was good.
Oh, did he?
He did. Right in this spot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was 2 years ago, as Robbie chimes in. It was a comedic gold. It was,
I bet,
fantastic. Surprised he didn't sue us, but it's okay. But anyway, Predators will, with the home opener tonight against the Seattle Kraken, both teams looking for win number one on the season. We'll have a lot of flavor with that coming up throughout the show. Michelle Kennedy, the Preds president, will join us at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN at 9:30, start our weekly chats with him. Obviously, we'll get you ready for the Titans Titans and Ravens in London. They will leave today after practice. We'll hear from them one more time before they head across the pond.
All right, I've got a really fun, I think, opening Smashville Preds question, okay?
Okay.
Your favorite obscure Nashville Predators player of all time?
Ooh, that's a
good
one.
Now, we all love Pekka. We all love Shea, Mike Fisher, on and on and on. Jordan Tutu is my all-time favorite player. But your most obscure favorite Nashville Predators player?
Tutu's your favorite?
All time. Robbie and I have this discussion.
Well, I will get him on the show then. We will make that happen for you.
We'll have a discussion. I mean, all time, I think Tutu is number two in all-time fan favorite. I think it's Pekka number one.
Yeah. Robbie
has a good argument for Shea Weber. But when Tutu played here, everybody stood up when he went on the ice. Now, I'm not sure that kind of player would make it now in the NHL, but the fact that he loved this team and loved his teammates, and if you went after one of his teammates, you were going to get it, man. He'd come off the ice or come on the ice and come right at you. So he's my all-time favorite. So the question is, and you can hit us on the text line, 615-737-1025, your all-time favorite obscure Nashville Predators player. Chase, who's yours?
It's a tough one. I mean, there's a few that come to mind. Robbie says Hanty Pilstrom. I think I'm going to say Radek Bonk.
Oh, okay.
Remember Radek Bonk?
Yeah, absolutely I do. Yeah.
He was on – so, I kind of look at this team as a similar team to, the 07-08 team after they had,
the fire
traded
sale?
The fire sale and traded for Peter Forsberg and all that. And I kind of look at that 07-08 team as just a ragtag group that – Barry Trotz was able to get the best out of, and Radek Bonk was, kind of in that era. I think he was on that team. But, I'll go Radek Bonk.
All right,
I'm sure there are other ones.
Darcy Hordachuk for me.
Well, you got to love Darcy.
One day after the season ended, he's like, hey, man, follow me to the parking lot. I'm like, okay, yeah, we were decent friends. So I go to the parking lot, and he opens up his trunk. He's got probably 300 pairs of Crocs.
Oh, yeah. Because he was in on the ground floor with that.
I was like, what? He's like, take as many as you want. So I take one. He's like, that's it? I'm like, all right, I'll take two. He's like, that's it? I took 30 pairs of Crocs from him, which is so unethical to do. It's something Joe Rexroad wouldn't do that, right? That's how unethical that is. So I take these Crocs, and I just hand them out to people. And it was great. So I see him, the next day. He's still back here. He's like, hey, you need more Crocs? I'm like, no, man, I'm good.
What is this?
I don't know. I'm fine. So Darcy Hordachuk's always my favorite player because he said one time that somebody went after Paul Kariya, and he asked to go on the ice, and he went on the ice, went right at the guy, and laid some dude out. And he's like, I'm always going to stand up for my teammates. I'm like, that's what you want to hear.
Oh, Darcy was the best at that. And, I mean, he's a character. But, you know, I've heard a lot of the Croc stories, and I think that he tried to get Peter Forsberg to get in on the ground floor with him, and he said no, and then Crocs blew up.
Oh,
and they're
nice.
Coming back, too.
Yeah, they, I guess, right?
Yeah, so, but Darcy's a good one. So your favorite obscure Predator, is that the best way to put it? Obscure Predators
yeah.
player of all time? Like, not the super popular one. He says Darcy Hordichuk. Vern Fiddler's another one. Like,
yeah.
I loved Vern Fiddler. I loved him the first time, and then when he came back, and I was actually covering the team, that was when, you know, I was working, obviously knew Chris Mason, and so Mace, we went in one day to the locker room, and he introduced me, and I'm like, Vern, I'm so glad you're back. Like, just a good locker room guy, gritty player. But there are a lot. There are a lot to choose from, and they are coming through on the text line. Fast and furious right now. 615-737-1025.
What game was it that Vern scored in the playoffs? He beat the Blues?
Yeah, I think so.
Game one beat the Blues.
Game one of the Blues.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
that's when he came back, because he was on the team that went to the cup final.
Yeah, Harry Zolnarchuk beat the
yep.
Blackhawks, I think, in a game. And then Vern Fiddler. I mean, all these ragtag guys, which was awesome of doing that. That's great.
Ryan in Nashville says Rich Klun was one of my
yes,
favorites. 100% no lie. That's a good one.
Love that.
Shane in the Borough, does Ryan Hartman count as an obscure Preds player? I mean, not maybe on the level that we're looking for, but, I mean, he wasn't – I get it. He wasn't here very long and didn't do much here. And, Sean from Nashville, Nick Bonino, sneaky stick, awesome face-off. Again, I think you can go a little more obscure, but Bones is a good one. Oh, here's one that will get Robbie's attention. Patrick Cote, number 17.
Oh, yeah.
You remember him?
Is he still in jail?
I think so. I think he is.
Maybe?
Yeah.
That, I mean, like Denny Lambert. I saw Denny Lambert at Bar Nashville after a game one night. And they're like, yeah, he plays for the Preds. I'm like, if he plays for the Preds looking like that, I can play for the Preds looking like I look like. But there was a hell of a player, man. Those early days were awful but fun.
All right. 3512 is listed like seven players.
Name them.
Rich Klun, Vladimir Orzov? Yeah, I don't remember him. Vernon Fiddler, Kevin Klein, Merrick Zidlicky, Dan Ellis. Dan Ellis was cool till, you know, he went had a meltdown on Twitter.
was Zidlicky the one that drove Barry Trotz crazy?
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember Brent Peterson.
Yeah. Yeah.
George says, Robbie beat me to the punch. Hard not to pick Pilstrom. Had no finishing ability, but dude was speedy little spark plug who would shoot the puck from literally anywhere. another one. Oh, Drake Berhowski, Bill Holder, Gabriel Bork. Gabby Bork.
Yeah.
Peter LaViolette loved Gabriel Bork. Like, absolutely loved him.
Who's the Preds player married to the Baywatch girl?
Oh, that was a...
Kale Hulse. Yeah, right.
Ask Terry Crisp about Kale Hulse.
Oh, no.
Good or bad? Oh, it's one of Pete Weber and Terry Crisp's favorite stories of all time of what we like to call a misspeak while on the air.
Oh.
Soccer kick.
Oh.
The soccer kick story.
Okay.
If you haven't heard that one.
I have not.
That is not for the air, but that's a good one, and it involves Kale Hulse. But yeah, no, Kale Hulse is a good one. I got a vote for Rem Pitlick. Wasn't here very long, but that's obscure. Is the Patrick Cote that was here the same Patrick Cote that went to UFC?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Because weren't there two Patrick Cotes?
I don't think so.
Like a different spelling. One was like CK, one was just C. Cliff Ronning, the rat. That's a good
rat.
One.
The rat, yeah.
Okay, I was waiting for somebody to say this one. 4309. Jared Smithson.
Yes.
Smitty, the original Smitty.
Yes.
That's a great
He was always
one.
So great to interview because he was so appreciative that you were talking to him.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't care what questions you had. He was just so glad that somebody had come talk to him. Yeah, I love that.
We got a troll for Jimmy Vesey. That's a good one. Yeah. Andre Kosecin. That's a good one. Kevin Drake Berhowski. That's a good one. Here's one. 9040 says Nick Spaulding, Spalls to the wall. That's a good one. He makes a nice drink at Tin Roof.
It's a great walk down
Freddie
memory
Gaudreau.
Lane. Freddie Gaudreau.
Scored 3 goals in the Stanley Cup final.
Dennis
Arkhipov.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How long did Pontus Aberg play here?
Blake Jeffrion. He was here. Aberg was here for a couple years.
I called him Pontus Pilot on TV one time, and nobody laughed. That made me laugh.
Who was the vowel line? I don't remember the vowel line.
Robbie?
Who's the
vowel line?
Yeah. Dennis Arkhipov gets a vote. Cole says Pontus Aberg. And then 3803, how about this? One of the last great enforcers, the Grim Reaper, Stu Grimson.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta love Stu.
Oh, this is great. Keep coming in. I love that.
Let's see. Let's get Tim real quick. Tim has called in for his favorite obscure Predators player of all time. Tim, what's up?
Hey, guys. Y'all are missing the most obvious one. Sergei Krasov.
That's a good one. That's a good one, Tim. And I'm glad you can say his name because I probably can't.
Well, like we always joked, it was Frazier, you know, what off.
Yeah. That's a good way to start it. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
Tim, that's outstanding.
Krasov. That's a good one.
That is outstanding. Yeah, there's been some guys come through who've been simply fantastic. And all those are really good, man. Really good.
615-737-1025. Bubba Baronswig, that's another one that has come through. Your favorite obscure Predators player of all time in honor of opening night here in Smashville. We'll have a lot of Smashville flavor coming up throughout the show, so stay tuned for that. Broadcasting live today, Pete and Terry's Tavern. They'll be opening here in just a little bit. You can come by and say hi to all of us. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace will be here as well. And be sure to tune into 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Saturday for our college football game of the week presented by Twin Peaks as Vanderbilt takes on Georgia at 11 a.m. with pregame beginning at 9:30. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest college football games across the country and home of the 29-degree beer. Well done. It is a TV theme Thursday. 102.5, yes. 106.3 The Game. Get the Simpsons clip coming out. Get the Simpsons theme. Bringing us back in. Chasing Big Joe live today. Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Predators opening night against Seattle. I'll have pregame for you at 6 o'clock. Pete Weber a little under the weather. Max Herz will be on the call tonight alongside Jay Moore. So looking forward to that. I haven't got to host a pregame show for opening night, so that'll be fun.
Well,
looking forward to that.
Good luck to you tonight, but young man,
this could be your opportunity.
I'm getting bombarded with texts too from
Dude.
People. Greg Zanin. Now,
he would come
in the locker room and show off his bruises, and because he did he not block every shot, he would just go flying to block a shot.
Yeah,
he had some of the most amazing, colorful bruises. I was like, dude, I don't want to see this. And outstanding guy, too, as well.
Let's see. Cody with a good one. Hal Gill. I mean, didn't play here very long. Let's see. George comes through. Keep him coming. 615-737-1025. Favorite obscure Preds player of all time. Yeah, the vowel line was Arkhipov, Orzlaw, and Erat.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Gene in Spring Hill, J.P. Dumont. I wouldn't consider J.P. obscure. J.P.
J.P. Dumont has the goal that made Bridgestone Arena, besides New Kids on the Block concert, the loudest I've ever heard Bridgestone Arena was when Dumont hit the shorthanded goal versus the Sharks in the playoffs in 07. I thought the top of the arena was going to come off. It was so loud.
There was a year where he was like towards the top of the league in points, too. And that was after, you know, Hartnell and Correa and all those guys. So
loud.
Clay and Cunningham, weren't there the Kostitsyn brothers? Yes. There was Andre and Sergey. Sergey was here a little longer.
Good time, brothers.
Andre and Alex Radulov had some fun in Phoenix.
They did. Was that 2012, right?
They
beat the Red Wings in the playoffs and went out there and hit the feet.
Scottsdale. Yeah,
Scottsdale. Yeah. Taking down many an athlete in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Rocco Grimaldi, 4 goals in 1 game. Yeah, that's one. Eric Nystrom had 4 goals in 1 game too, right? Yeah. Cody McLeod, that's a good one. That's Officer Watson from Clarksville. Thank you. what?
Oh, no.
What about the drug dealer defenseman that played like two games with us? Who is that? Oh. I don't remember that one. Ryan in Nashville. I have a favorite line as well. Do you remember the wagon line? Nystrom, Gostad, and Hendricks.
Yeah.
That was good. That was a good one. Jackson, there we go. Brian McGrattan, Shane O'Brien. Oh, those two guys.
Yes. McGrattan, I forgot all about him.
Scotty Upshaw.
Yep, okay.
That's a good one. Had a reputation. Matt Halaschuk or Paul Gostad. Two good ones there.
I forgot about Gostad.
I think this is directed to you.
Uh-oh.
The dude that was married to Carrie Underwood.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Mike Mark Fisher. Mark Fisher.
That's why you
Joe Fisher's brother,
that's right, yeah. You tell people, yeah, Mark Fisher. They're like, no, I don't think that's right. That's right.
Devin Dubnyk played like three games.
That's my cousin from Lithuania. Great family.
Nino Niederreiter. I wasn't here very long, but that's a good one.
Yeah, how long was he here? Like four games? It wasn't long at all.
Okay, here's a name I don't even remember. Preds legend Morgan Frost. Mm. Robbie shakes his head like he remembers. So there's the nod. 615-737-1025. Let's go to the phones. You guys like this topic. Let's go. Hank wants to weigh in on a favorite obscure Preds player. Hank, what's up?
Well, first off, to prove how popular Tutu was, you just have to remember how popular his dad was. Can
oh,
you
Barney.
Name any other Preds parents other than Barney Tutu?
No.
I mean, that was
Barney Tutu was a
Barney
legend
on the camera. So the best name is a name that never made it to the ice for the Predators. When my son, now grown son, was about 6 years old, I picked him up from school. I told him there was some bad news that one of his favorite players got traded. And he sat in the back seat there in his car seat for a few moments and was just very quiet. And he said, well, who did we get for him? And I said, well, we got draft picks. And he was quiet some more, just kind of brooding. He finally said, well, is he any good? And I said, who? He said, draft picks. Is he any good?
Nice.
And then we laughed when they finally named the restaurant down at the Ford Ice Center after that obscure Predators player.
That's pretty good, Hank. Appreciate the call. I wasn't ready for that. That was good. David wants to weigh in. David, welcome in.
Hey, I was going to say Alexander Radulov, but it sounded like you already named him.
Radulov? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Alex Radulov had some memorable moments in Nashville.
Drove a few coaches crazy.
He did. He did. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah, you know, I always wonder if he never leaves, what happens?
That's a good question. That's a what if.
Does he become one of the biggest stars in the NHL and one of the elite goal scorer that this franchise has always been looking for? Or
could be.
Does he, you know, become a really good player, but, you know, basically what he was when he came back, at, you know, to Montreal and Dallas.
So I covered a practice one time at Centennial Sportsplex. I stood next to his dad. I had no idea who his dad was, and I'm talking to his dad the whole time. His dad's not talking back to me. And then I'm like, this guy's kind of rude. I had no idea who he was. Doesn't speak English.
No.
And had no idea what I was saying. Just kept nodding his head for 20 minutes. I was like, okay.
I met his dad at a practice one time, too, and he, like, shook my hand and, like, nodded, and, you know, but he didn't speak English. But he was, like he was kind of, like, out of the cartoons, like, Russian. You know, just that guy, I was like, I'm not going to mess
out
with
of the cartoons.
So, TV shows. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. That's fantastic. Oh, yeah. This is great, man. Bring up a lot of old memories here.
Henry says, ask Robbie about Rex Rhodes' favorite goalie, Skiatika. That's a classic. It's a good one. Have you heard that?
I have not.
Rex Rhodes was trying to say sciatica and said Skiatika. Talking about Caleb Farley before the draft.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the good netminder for sure. 615-737-1025. Keep them coming for your favorite obscure Preds player of all time. We'll talk to Greg Wyshynski. I bet he's got one. We'll talk to him in a few minutes. He's kept up with the team for a long time.
Hold
so.
On. I mean, I'm looking at Jared Smithson's been gone since 2012?
Yeah. I still have his – I have a jersey of his.
Good Lord. I like he was like – yesterday he was in the locker room hanging out.
Another one for Radek Monk. Heck yeah. That's a good one. And Radek Bonk's son just got drafted in this draft, in this building.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I like the name Radek Bonk.
Bonk. He was here.
Is he a Russian cartoon character too?
No.
Oh, man.
Oh, the coffee hadn't hit it.
There's one player. Is this the one that had the unfortunate incident, since Robbie's our press historian? Grebishkov. Is he the one that had the injury on the ice? Yeah.
He's missing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Well, I saw his name. Yeah. He got hit and then he lost.
You know, another one. And unfortunately, he was on the plane that crashed in Russia and he passed away. But Carlos Skrastens was another one that I liked.
That's
defenseman
right.
From the early days, played with the Stars as well before going to the KHL, and was on the locomotive, the team that the plane crashed.
The old-fledged plane crash. Yeah. I forgot about him.
Yeah, there were a couple of former NHLers on that flight, but Carlos Skrastens was one of those.
Bring it down, Chase.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's Brandon right, Yip. Yeah. Brandon Yip gets it. There's one. Anders Lindback. He was backed up Pekka for a couple of years.
He did.
On a couple of different occasions.
And how could you forget the famous goalie, Brian, what was his name, Robbie? The goalie they drafted like third overall in 99. Brian
Finley?
Brian Finley. There we go. Yes.
Yeah. I think he was the one.
Didn't quite have it.
He was the one that
Mike Dunham.
Didn't he play? Yeah, he played like one game, right?
Something like that, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember him. Barely.
Mike Ribeiro, possibly?
I mean, you could put Ribeiro on that list. He was here for a few years, but obviously a lot surrounding him. But I think that's one. Was he? Timo Laakso, was he on that plane? I don't remember if he was on that, but he is an obscure Preds player. That's another one. 615-737-1025. We'll talk to Greg Wyshynski, get his thoughts on not only the Predators, but the opening around the league, the entire league. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe live today. Pete and Terry's Tavern, Bridgestone Arena, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, TV Theme Thursday, live today, Bridgestone Arena, opening night in Smashville. Predators will take on the Seattle Kraken later on tonight. You can hear coverage starting at 6 o'clock, but we'll have Preds flavor throughout the day. Every Thursday at 9:30 during the hockey season, we say hello to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Always enjoy our conversations with him. Greg, what's up, my friend? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Just in that weird transitionary period of having gotten around 4 hours of sleep for 2 weeks writing previews and all that nonsense, and now we're just kind of like sailing along. It's the season again. It's been fun. It's already been some interesting stuff that's happened in 2 days, and happy hockey's back.
Before we get into things going on around the league, our question of the day, and I have a feeling you could come up with one, but your favorite obscure Predators player of all time.
That's a great question. I guess, what was it, Sergei Krizakrazov?
He's gotten a lot of votes. He's gotten a lot of votes this morning.
That's the first one that I really remember. But, I mean, like, you know, the other thing about the Predators, there's been some randos, you know, that have been there through the years too, like the big name guys that stopped there for just a cup of coffee. But yeah, Chris Krasov, and then the other one, obviously, and this is, I mean, it's not obscure, but like my favorite Predator from the old school was Stu Grimson, who's again not obscure, but
yeah,
I own one Predators jersey, and it's the old school blue one, and it's a Grimson jersey. It's the only
that's
Predators
awesome.
Jersey
yeah.
I own.
That is awesome. Stu's a great guy too, so that's really cool that you have that. So let's start with this Predators team. Andrew Brunette takes over as the head coach. Barry Trotz moves into the GM role since returning to the organization. They fall to Tampa the other night, but I know that I saw some good things. Obviously, they took some penalties late in the game that didn't help them out, but it was on your network. What did you see from the Predators and this new-look team in their opener?
Yeah, I was encouraged, too. You know, they showed some spark. which is what you wanted to see from Andrew Brunette coming behind the bench and trying to do some of the things offensively that he was able to do in Florida and kind of sprinkle the magic dust that he sprinkled on the Devils when they broke out offensively last year and he was their associate head coach. But again, like you said, I mean, it comes down to discipline sometimes and not giving the most talented players on the opposite side opportunities on special teams, and lesson learned there. You know, the Lightning were interesting too. I actually have them missing the playoffs this year. I made that pick before Vasilevskiy got hurt. You know, the supporting cast, the number of players that they've lost through the years, I just think it catches up to you at some point. But that being said, the thing that was kind of the counter argument was they still got those guys. and as the Predators saw on opening night, man, you know, Kucherov makes a play or Point makes a play. You just can't count out those Tampa Bay Lightnings quite yet.
Hey, this is Joe. I'm joining Chase now for on. Let me ask your opinion on Philip Forsberg. Around the league, does he still strike fear in people? I mean, last year wasn't the best year, but your thoughts on Forsberg heading into this season?
Well, he's a terrific player. I mean, you know, and obviously elite facial hair. But has he ever? I guess the question I have is: has he ever struck fear in the hearts of teams around the league? I mean, I think he's always been a player that can produce, can play well. There are some years in which he puts up numbers that could be considered elite, and still is a top performer. But as far as the guy that you have to kind of like game plan around, I'm not sure if he's ever been on that level, but obviously a consistent top line player and a hugely important player this season if Brunette is going to have this team churning offensively.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, and so he's playing on a line with Ryan O'Reilly that they signed in the offseason. O'Reilly buries his first goal of the year in the loss to Tampa Bay. That was a signing that I don't think anybody really saw coming, but also piqued some interest around here and maybe around the league as well. At this point in his career, you know, he's won a cup. What do you think O'Reilly has left in the tank and can bring to a team that's trying to build a young core?
Well, like you said, it was a surprise not only that he got some term out of somebody. It looked like he was going to be entering his, you know, roving samurai phase of his career, going from team to team trying to chase another cup maybe, but also being cast as a top-line center. And you know, I think it's a really solid move in the sense that he's a leader, he's a character guy, he brings a championship pedigree to a team that is absent a lot of guys with rings right now, outside of a couple exceptions. And you know, still a very productive player. I mean, obviously when Toronto acquired him, they didn't need him to be a top line center. They just needed to kind of be a veteran depth guy behind what they had there with Tavares and Matthews. But I think he can serve that role pretty well. And above all else, I mean, he's one of those guys that just is a win at all cost type player, legendary defensively, great on faceoffs, and I think is going to bring a good solid 200-foot game to this team.
Well, Greg, let me ask you this. What, with Barry Trotz being the GM, what do you think? I mean, is it take a while to get his pieces here? Is it going to be, are they here now? What's the process you think that Barry Trotz wants to put his perfect team on the ice here?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, because whenever a new GM comes in, you're not quite sure when the evaluation period begins or ends as far as his feelings on the roster. It could be, let's play out this season, see where we are, and adjust accordingly in the offseason. Or it could be that he looks at this team and gets a little bit more aggressive at the trade deadline, for example, if he thinks that they're close to being a playoff team. I actually have Nashville in the playoffs this year. Like, I think that Brunette's a terrific coach, and I think he's going to find ways to squeeze offense out of this forward group that, you know, on paper, I think is not necessarily among the elite teams offensively. But he's a great player's coach. He kind of gets everybody pulling the rope in the same direction. And you put that on top of UC Saros and Kevin Lankinen, who I think are maybe a top three goalie tandem in this league. I thought that was going to be enough for them to get over the hump in the Central Division, with some teams in the conference maybe taking a little bit of a step back to open the door for them.
How does that work? You know, you've covered this league for a long time. When a great head coach becomes a GM, I mean, is he just like, all right, I delegate? He's got Andrew Bernetta for a reason because he likes him, but is it best he kind of stays away? Or how does this dynamic work perfectly for a former head coach that's now a GM?
I mean, I think it really depends on what the relationship between the GM and the coach is. And obviously, Burnett and Trotz have a relationship back from Burnett's playing days. And that's got to be beneficial. I mean, I think that probably means a more open door policy than it would be otherwise with the former coach being a GM and the current coach behind the bench. But I mean, for the most part, there is a bit of separation of church and state when it comes to an executive and the coach in the NHL. And, you know, Barry's going to be busy. Like if Barry wanted to be behind the bench, he'd be behind the bench. I think he wants to be in the next phase of his career. He's got a lot of learning to do as an executive. He's got to surround himself with the right people. He's got to make some good relationships in front offices. And then on top of that, you know, kind of really understand from a player evaluation standpoint what he's looking for insofar as, you know, who should stay, who should go, and what pieces this team needs.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. So Connor Bedard, game number 2, finally breaks through, scores his first goal, had a point in his first game. And I know he said it was nice to get that moment out of the way, but probably going to be the first of many. What did you think about the first two games of the first overall pick?
I mean, he's great. He's really good. It makes me very angry that the Blackhawks are going to be really good for a very long time once again. He's the real deal. I mean, you watch this kid play, and all of the reports that we had gotten about the quality of his shot, you know, the accuracy of it, the strength behind it, his ability to get it off and a number of different ways, almost kind of like a Brett Hull type player in that regard. That's all been proven true in the first two games. He's been able to get shots on goal and get quality chances. The two things about Bedard that I have surprised me in talking to him a few times in the offseason and now watching him in the NHL. First is that you think of a kid that young, you think of somebody who's a bit wiry, you know, and like going to get pushed around and stuff. And he's actually kind of built a little bit thicker than you'd think for a kid his age. That plays center, and I think because of that, he's going to be able to handle the NHL grind a little bit easier. And then the other thing too is, and especially in that first game against Pittsburgh, like he plays defense, yeah. And that's kind of a shock. I remember talking to Matt Duchene about that once when Duchene came up as a rookie, and he told me, look, you know, part of it is you're trying to figure out what offensive tricks you used in like junior hockey and the minor leagues that you can use in the NHL. But part of it is also understanding that your responsibility as a center defensively is exponentially harder than what it was at other levels. And so to see Bedard positionally play well, to see him back check, to see him, you know, active in the defensive zone, it was a real surprise because I think he's been sold a little bit more offensively than as a complete player. So that portends good things, I think, for him going forward.
And real quick, I mean, are the Oilers going to shut it down after losing 8-1 last night? Besser with 4 goals for Vancouver?
Well, who knew they had another preseason game in them last night? Look, they're my cup pick. They'll be fine. Me and Connor and Leon will all have a laugh about this in June when they're passing around the cup in the locker room. But yeah, kind of an embarrassing stumble out of the gate for the Oilers last night to not only just mud-thumped by the Canucks, who I think are going to be really good. Again, like the Canucks and Predators are my wild card teams in the West. Yeah. I think the Flames and the Kraken and Winnipeg and a few others aren't going to answer the bell in the way that people think they are.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We're going to enjoy these conversations every week. And, you know, maybe we'll come up with some more obscure hockey players that we can bring up on the show. Appreciate it.
Always appreciate it. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joining us here on the show. He'll do that every Thursday at 9:30 on the Chasing Big Joe Show. We're presented by Regal Realty Group. And coming up next, we'll get into the Titans a little bit. They practiced yesterday. We'll practice today. They had the Oilers lids on yesterday, I believe.
Hold on. But before, do we have hockey players all have nicknames? Do you have a nickname for Greg Wyshynski?
Wish.
Wish. Is that his nickname?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Or like the Shin?
No.
Okay.
No, Wish.
Wish. All right.
You'd probably be JoJo.
No, pass.
Doobs? Doobie?
Maybe.
Doobie. You're Doobie. Oh, that's great. What you are. That's perfect for you. We'll get into the Titans next. 615-737-1025. If you want to keep the Question of the day going, favorite obscure Predators player of all time in honor of opening night. It's Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Here we come, walk down the street. We get funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, with the monkeys.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. This is a classic.
Great
the
show,
Monkees.
Man.
Yeah. My mom was big into the Monkees. Only therefore, one. I listened to the Monkees yeah. because of her.
Only one's left around, man. Only one's left.
We need to open the door, apparently, for
the Monkees?
For Sean Henry. He's texting me.
Don't let him in.
Well,
don't let him in.
He's kind of important.
He is kind of important.
Junie, can you go open the door for him?
Thanks,
I see
Junie.
Him over there. Please.
Appreciate you, Junie.
615-737-1025, favorite obscure Preds player of all time is
Who's
our question of the day. Radek Bonk.
Okay.
Or Vern Fiddler.
Vern Fiddler. I take Darcy Hordachuk. We explained why we love those guys earlier, but my goodness, the text line exploded
oh,
with
yeah.
these guys.
It's still coming through. So we'll get to those here in a little bit. Titans were back on the practice field yesterday. They'll be back on today before they head to London this afternoon. A long flight. We talked to Brett Kern, former Titans punter, on Monday, and he talked about how difficult that trip is, but they will do it nonetheless. They did practice in the Oilers' lids yesterday to break those in. Obviously a different helmet. No Treylon Burks again. No Luke Gifford. No Jeffrey Simmons. No Tierre Tart. No Elijah Molden on the practice field yesterday.
Why even practice?
I know, right?
That's crazy. But they'll hit the – You know, there's still a lot of consternation from fans about why they're leaving. So I think if the Ravens were leaving today as well, then I think the fans would be like, okay. But the fact that the Ravens left, somebody said Sunday night.
They did, yeah. I mean, it was after the game.
Okay. It's like, all right, why did the Titans not leave? And we talked about this ad nauseum on Monday and Tuesday as well. But I don't – will that be – who knows? Everybody that weighed in about, you know, your travel to London and to England – how long does it take to acclimate? Like 1 or 2 days, but I don't have to play a football game. But regardless, you're still playing a game at 8:30 in the morning. I mean, you got to get up your body clock time at 4, probably, maybe 3.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to mess with them, and that's what I'm worried about. I mean, I'm already worried about how they're going to match up against Baltimore in general.
Yeah.
But Sean Henry's here giving me crap about my Braves hat. Hey, look, I'm trying to rally them back, man.
Yeah. I mean, Sean's not wearing a Yankees hat. I
well,
mean,
that's
he knows.
True. No. We don't play anymore. Yeah. They're off. They're on the golf
Everybody
course.
Everybody jumped off the ship on that one.
So, I mean, look, I'm already worried about the matchup in general, and then you add the travel and acclimating to the time change on top of that, and Baltimore has gotten ahead of the curve on that.
Well, at the end of the day, just go out and play football. I mean,
sure.
Just go out, have fun, play football. Don't worry about things we're worrying about and go out there and get the job done. Again, if you went on Sunday, it's all for naught. I mean, you got a bye week coming when you get back, get some rest there. But if you had, you lose this game at 2-4, a lot of these questions are going to pop up of why you didn't leave early, what's the team looking like, what's the future of Ryan Tannehill. I mean, all these questions bubble up. But if you win, those questions are still there, but not as just prevalent.
Yeah, I think you said that perfectly because they're still there because the roller coaster ride that is the Titan season, they're going to come back up every time they lose. And that's the hard part. It's like you have to decide if you're going to ride this thing out. And like I saw on Twitter that, you know, there's this rumor going around that Kirk Cousins may be traded from Minnesota and that the Titans could be a landing spot.
Huh?
Like,
who wrote that?
You have Kirk Cousins. Like, Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins are the same quarterback.
Right.
Like, so why would the Titans make that move? Like, that would make no sense. It would make no sense for either side, really, to make that move. So, you know, this is the time of year where you have the fan base that they've been done with Tannehill for a long time, since the 3 interceptions against Cincinnati, and they're ready to move on. And then you got the crowd that's like, okay, well, why not just go ahead and blow it up and trade Tannehill and trade Henry and trade Byard and, you know, turn the keys over to either Malik Willis or Will Levis and, you know, just tank. And it's like Vrabel's not going to do that. Now that Vrabel has control, he's not going to do that. He's going to try and win with what he has. And then if it doesn't work, if you're a 7, 8, 9 win team and either barely miss the playoffs or barely make the playoffs, but you're one and done.
Right.
Then you address all that in the offseason.
I totally agree. We got a football game tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a Thursday night
Broncos
game.
Broncos at Chiefs.
Riveting.
Yeah, is it not?
Yeah, Chiefs by 30.
Easily, yeah.
Broncos are bad. They're bad. That's a bad team. And you know what? This whole Sean Payton thing.
No, don't blame him.
This whole Sean Payton thing.
He took over a bad team.
He took over a bad team, yes. But he didn't help with all the trash talking that he did, you know, to throw in Nathaniel Hackett. And look, Hackett was not a head coach.
No, not at all.
But you don't need to go and do that. And then I can already tell there's something with him and Russ. And, you know, Russell is what he is at this point. But he's probably going to get benched.
Getting paid and he's done. That's just – I never thought it's the Broncos this bad overall. I mean, that was a football team throughout Super Bowl in the 70s, Super Bowl in the 80s, won Super Bowls in the 90s, went back good in the 2000s, two Super Bowls in the 2010s. They won one. And now this team is just bad.
Is the Russ project over?
Oh, last 2 years in Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why. Did you see the interview that that Shannon Sharp did with Marshawn Lynch?
No.
There's a clip of it, and he asked about, you know, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, and, you know, did he see any signs of that relationship degrading, you know, in his last year there. And Marshawn said, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't really mess with either one of them. And and
shocker.
Sharp looks at him, and he's like, wait, what? And he goes, man, I did my thing. And, like, I knew Russ is, you know, he's a teammate, but, like, we weren't boys. Pete was the coach. You know, I kind of let them do their thing, and I did my thing. And that, I mean, like,
does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me from the Marshawn Lynch, because I think that's how he always was. He was kind of a loner and just like, hey, I'm going to do my thing. And I also think, because later on, like, it comes up of not giving him the ball in the Super Bowl, there's still some consternation there from Marshawn Lynch of why they didn't give him the ball on that last play in the Super Bowl that ended up being intercepted and they lose to the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, which was still just a bizarre moment in history.
I still can't believe that one.
But if you go back and if you let the Seahawks explain that, the defense that the Patriots are in was great to stop the run, and they saw the opportunity to throw the ball, and Butler jumped the route and took the interception and won the Super Bowl for him.
Texter 5728 on the text line says, why are the Titans so cheap, gentlemen? Oh, number one, we're not gentlemen. But why can't they afford to send them to London a week early like Baltimore? Why is Baltimore and Cleveland spending $70 million more on their teams than the Titans are? I don't think them going to London on Monday or Thursday is they're cheap. If Mike Vrabel went to Amy Adams Trunk and said, hey, I want to go on Monday, they
would
have gone on
Monday.
Did
the league pay for this?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, that is not, I don't think, the cheap part. For the roster, it's a retooling. And so they didn't want to spend to the cap. But the problem is, like, you compare what the Preds are doing and what the Titans are doing. The Preds are, it's not a rebuild, but it's certainly a reset. They're trying to build a new young core. And they have allowed themselves that cap space to, you know, if they get to the trade deadline and they're in contention, then they can go make some big moves and add, you know, some players that can help. And
so
get
you
them
think
over
they've
the
got one eye towards gutting this team?
The Titans?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I think they don't know what they want to do.
Well, that's.
I think they're in
a. Love to hear that about your favorite football
team.
Yeah.
No, I think that's the difference. Like one organization has a plan. It's a pretty clear plan.
Right.
And the other one, the Titans, does not. The Titans are like, well, we're going to just see if this works, and then we'll figure it out.
I just told you, there's still no fire from this football team that I see on a Sunday. Even when they beat the Bengals, I just felt odd. I remember they just thrashed the Bengals at home, but I just don't see any, I don't know, just getting people's faces on your own teammates and slapping each other and everything else. I just don't. It's weird. It's just weird. I haven't seen that in a Titans team in a long time.
The text line's giving me crap about bringing up the Kirk Cousins tweet. And saying one saying that I'm wrong, that Cousins is better than Tannehill, and other is like, how could you bring that tweet up? So sorry, but you know it was out there. So
yeah, I mean, just some dude just writing they would never trade for Kirk Cousins.
No, it wouldn't make sense at all.
No, it would not at all. I mean, Kirk Cousins
sounds like he's a nice guy, but my goodness, how many opportunities he had.
A lot. Coming up next, it is opening night here in Smashville. The Predators will host the Seattle Kraken. We're live at Pete and Terry's Tavern. We're going to talk to Michelle Kennedy, the Predators president, coming up next. She will join the show. And Sean Henry's here, too. I mean, she's the president.
Can you not hear Sean Henry in the radio?
Oh, we hear him for sure. We will do that next. 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.